there was a priest named Zechariah who belonged to the priestly division of Abia. His wife Elizabeth was also a descendant of Aaron. Both of them were righteous in the sight of God, observing all the Lord's commands and decrees blamelessly. But they were childless because Elizabeth was not able to conceive, and they were both very old. Once Zechariah's division was on duty, and he was serving as priest before God. He was chosen by lot, according to the custom of the priesthood, to go into the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And when the time for the burning of incense came, all the assembled worshipers were praying outside. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing at the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was startled and was gripped with fear. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife, Elizabeth, will bear you a son, and you are to call him John. He will be a joy and a delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He is never to take wine or fermented drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even before he is born. He will bring back many of the people of Israel to the Lord their God, and he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the parents to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." Zechariah asked the angel, "How can I be sure of this? I'm an old man and my wife is well along in years." The angel said to him, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I have been sent to speak to you and to tell you this good news. And now you will be silent, not able to speak until the day this happens, because you did not believe my words, which will come true at their appointed time." The birth of Jesus foretold. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are all to call him Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I'm a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she, who was said to be unable to conceive, is in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word to me be fulfilled." Then the angel left her. Amen.
Sometimes it takes courage to live. Life is hard. We have earthquakes, right? Among other things. George Bush, one of the presidents, just passed away. You may not know this about his story, but he flew a fighter plane in World War II and was shot down and basically was in the middle of the ocean for a while until somebody picked him up. My father was shot down over Germany. He had to walk out and walked out and escaped from any enemy-occupied territory in World War II. Life can be tough. One of the things about the Christmas stories, and don't get me wrong, I love Christmas. I even like Santa Claus. I like presents. I like all the things that go with Christmas. I really do. Even though some of the secular things. Because Christmas is just a neat time. It's unusual for people to be so generous, to be so interested in giving things. And yes, it's become secularized. And yes, people are fighting against it, all kinds of different things. But one of the things that we need to watch out for is that we forget that Christmas involved choices that required courage. There are four people I want to talk about today. We read about three of them. One, because of time constraints, I didn't read about, was Joseph. But in each of these stories, they are visited by a messenger, which is what an angel is. That's what literally angel means, a messenger. And sometimes a messenger can be an earthly one, but sometimes a heavenly one. In this case, heavenly messengers came to these people and told them a message, and it scared them. And each time the angel said, don't be afraid, or to be put in a more positive way, have courage. Have courage, because it's going to take it. It's going to take courage to do what you're going to have to do. And the first one that is visited is Zechariah. Now, Zechariah was the father of John the Baptist, or he became that. Now, you just heard the story. He and his wife, Elizabeth, had gone through the heartache of not being able to have children. There are people like that all over the place. I remember in many of my churches over the years, on Mother's Day, people would want to, you know, have people's mothers stand up and the oldest mother. But I remember one time doing that, and it was great. But a woman came up to me and said, please remember those of us who can't have children. And she was crying. And it was easy to do, to be able to remember them as well as mothers, if you will, mothers who want to be. But it's a heartache for them. And in that kind of shame culture, if you didn't have children, something was wrong with you. And these were faithful people who were not able to have children. And so Zechariah is a priest. In those days, there were lots and lots of priests. And you had to draw straws, if you will, by lot. You got chosen to go to participate in the sacrifices at the temple in Jerusalem. And sometimes you never got chosen. So it was an honor. And so he was chosen. He goes. He does his thing. But in the midst of it, he gets visited by an angel and says, guess what? You and your wife are going to have a child. Well, what's his reaction to it? I'm an old man. My wife is an old woman. It's not going to happen. How's this going to happen? I don't believe it. And the angel says, guess what? You're not going to be able to talk. Now, you might think that's cruel. But it's not, really, because, you know, he could have walked out of there going, this was an illusion. This was, I just dreamed this. When he walked out not being able to speak, it was pretty clear that it had happened. And in the end, it didn't really bother him, because when John was born, he jumped up and down as far as an old man could. But he had to have courage to believe. And in his case, he had a hard time with it. It takes courage to believe. It takes courage to have faith. In our day and age, people are accused of all kinds of things. You know, the secular, in history, you see the ups and downs of the argument about faith, and sometimes the attacks on people who have faith. In our time, it seems to be we're in an upswing of people being aggressive toward people of faith, and so you're called all kinds of names. You know, it's a You're sexist, intolerant, xenophobic, homophobic, Alzheimophobic, racist, bigoted, anti-science, or this, whatever it is. If you, all kinds of things. And people are attacking us because we're Christian. And it's hard to believe, even ourselves. You know, we just read about a virgin birth. Can a modern person believe in a virgin birth? Well, my question for you is I'm not attacking anyone. I'm just simply saying, you know, what kind of God do you believe in? If you believe in a God who created the whole universe after the first galaxy, what's a virgin birth? You know, God can interrupt his normal ways of doing things and do whatever he wishes. And that's what it says. He says he can do anything. And Zechariah had to learn that. Now, you know, I'll defend him. He's an old guy who's been disappointed a lot. He's had disappointments after disappointment. A faithful man whose wife, and you can imagine comforting his wife as she cried a lot because they couldn't have children. And he was disappointed. And he was faithful, but wondering where God was in all of this. Finally, God shows up, and he's having a hard time with it. But faith takes courage. We forget that at Christmas time. You know, the babe in the manger, infant, holy, lowly, the stars in the sky, and the poinsettias, and all the wonderful good feelings that we have, all of which I love. But the choices of Christmas took courage. The second one is Mary herself. Now, I am fascinated by this little girl. She's about 15. And the angel comes to her and says, guess what? You're going to have a child. Okay. Well, she's not quite like Zechariah, who says, I don't really believe it. How's this going to happen? She said, all she really wants to know is, how are you going to do it? I'm a virgin. It's really more of a question of information. It's not really a question of disbelief. It's a question of information, a curiosity. How are you going to do this? And the angel tells her. Now, she may not realize it just yet. She will. Her life is about to change in a very difficult way. I mean, just think about it. One of the things we all need to do when we read stories is put ourselves in those stories and imagine if it were you and I making these choices. And so, okay, you're a young woman who has to explain to her husband to be that she's pregnant. Well, how did that happen? Oh, well, God did it. Right. I mean, there are people like that today who go, I'm pregnant, I'm a new virgin, I'm pregnant. Yeah, right. We believe that, right? No, we don't. This little girl is going to face this. And she does. Joseph is not happy, as I'll talk about in a minute. He's not happy at all. I wouldn't be either. But, and then you're in a shame sort of culture. I mean, you live in a small town, right? Some girl gets pregnant. How many people know about it within a week? I'm not criticizing. It's just the facts. People are people. I don't care where you go. And people will talk about that. And Mary was talked about. People could count. And she had to face that. She had to face that with courage. She had to, and later when she raises her son and her son sees her son die on a cross, it takes courage to be a Christian. It isn't just about little babes in mangers and everything's hunky-dory. It takes courage to believe. It takes courage to say yes to God's purposes for your life. One of the most powerful scriptures is when she says, I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said. It takes so much courage to say yes to God's purposes for your life. Because we tend to think our lives are ours. And they're really not. And then there's Joseph. I refer you to Matthew chapter 1, verse 25 and following. Here's Joseph, also visited by an angel. Told he's already heard the bad news. Finds out that his wife-to-be, and in those days, when you were betrothed, it was just about as good as a wedding. So she's an adulteress in his eyes. He is an honorable man, though, a young man, probably 18. He's an apprentice to someone to be a carpenter, and that's the way it was. The men in those days, 18, 19, 20, the girls 15, 16, 14, somewhere in those vicinity, and they were betrothed and they were going to be married, and she comes out pregnant. He was going to divorce her quietly, and he could have made a public deal out of it, but he wasn't going to do that. But then the angel comes and says, guess what? Take Mary as your wife, for what's in her is from the Holy Spirit, is from God. Now I want to tell you something. If it had been me, I would be going, what do you mean taking my wife to do this? She is mine. Not yours, he is mine. Of course, I'd be ridiculous, but I would feel that way. I'm sure he did. Deep inside. He may not have. You know, one of the things I want to do when I get to heaven is go talk to these people. But I'm sure there's going to be a 10,000 person line and or 100, and I may wait a few hundred years before I get my chance. But I would like to ask him, what did you feel like? And it may not matter, of course. But here he was, having to have courage to accept what the responsibility was of God's calling. And here's what went with all this. He was going to be the father of the Messiah. He was going to have the privilege, the honor, and the responsibility of raising the child, Son of God. And it was a little bit different. You see, Jesus was not like a typical son running around and wondering, going off with his buddies drinking or whatever it happened to be when he grew up. He was off running around to the temple teaching or doing something religious. You know, it was a little different animal, but still he was having to deal with that. Now, can you imagine Joseph when he found this out about his wife in the modern times? I can imagine him going to her and saying, okay, why don't we just live together for a while? Let's try this out. See if it works. That's kind of the modern answer now, right? We try it out. You see, people in our day aren't joiners. We don't want to take the responsibility. You know, one of the debates in church these days is, how do we get people to join the church more? There are so many folks who don't want to join. They don't join the civic organizations. They don't join church. No, people want to have the ability to go have the blessings of joining something without doing it, including marriage. But one of the debates in church is, okay, how do we get people to join? Let's list all the things you get by joining. This is what you get by becoming a... And I'm not beyond that. I've done that myself. But I think maybe a better way, another way, at least the other side of it, is to say, here's the responsibility of it. That's why ECO, our denomination, is calling it being a covenant partner. because it's a partnership. And there's a responsibility in being a member of a church because we have to take care of each other. Well, anyway, I'm using this as an example. It takes courage to be inconvenienced, to take on responsibility, and that's what Joseph did. Christmas isn't just wonderful hymns and babes in a manger and all the different things. And the last example is very much to this point. And those are the shepherds. I just love the story of the shepherds. We have to read into what happens with the shepherds. Now, one is, in this culture, shepherds were not really liked very much. I mean, here you had a guys who didn't really care about what property lines looked like, and they would bring their sheep all over the place and walk all over your property, leaving presents along the way and different things. And they were also, you've heard of Willie Nelson's song, Mamas don't let your children grow up to be cowboys. It was Mamas don't let your children grow up to be shepherds, because they were hard-drinking, cussing sort of people. And God goes to them. How interesting. God's always going to people who you don't expect. Here they are, though. They're in the middle. You know, I was telling someone earlier about being in Afghanistan, and with no ambient light, you can see the stars in an incredible way, and really how you're supposed to see them. So here they are in this maybe a beautiful night, starlit night, but they're by themselves, and it's dark, and they're just kind of minding their own business, and suddenly, big light, big noise. I'd be crawling under a rock. Then there's lots of angels appearing everywhere, singing glory to God in the highest, and I'd be running. It's incredible. Just think about that, just being so scared. Don't be afraid. Yeah, right. But after they get over it, they're told the message. Now you have to realize that here they are in this culture that has a king named Herod, who was really one of the most creative people that ever lived. He built the temple in Jerusalem. He built Masada, the fortress of Masada. He built all these things all over the country. He was a great builder and a great planner, but he was also a paranoid schizophrenic. And everybody hated him. And he killed as many people as he could just to keep in power. He was a narcissist. He was everything else you could think of. And people had to they had to pay people to go to his funeral when he died. Literally. But one of the things he built was a place called Herodium, which was just outside of Bethlehem. It was a man-made hill with a big fortress on top of it. You could see it for miles. And it was a symbol of his power, of the power of his secret police that basically said, if anybody had any kind of revolution on their mind, you're going to die. So if you went around talking about another king, you're in trouble. And so yet these shepherds went to Jerusalem to see the Messiah and then went around talking about it. It takes courage to speak up. In our time, you're anti-science, you're anti-this, you're certainly being against people's sensibilities. You're being intolerant to talk about Jesus. I was in the Army until 2014, and only toward the end of it. It was at this unit. It wasn't a Department of Defense policy, but we were told by somebody that if you prayed in the name of Jesus, it was being intolerant, and you shouldn't do that. And I was glad I was getting out, because I knew I was going to be in trouble pretty soon as a chaplain. And I don't know what's going on now. But the world is turning against us at the moment, and that's okay. Maybe it'll wake us up. But Christmas takes courage. It takes bravery to know that it's not all going to be easy. It's going to be hard. And yet, Jesus is still King and still the Lord of it all. And for that reason, we can rejoice. Joy to the world is still perfect. But it does take courage to be a believer, to be an obeyer, to be a Christian. And remember that as you live your life every day. It takes courage. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.